This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Just want to ask that Ukrainian team, the team that went to Ukraine, to maybe come forward. We just want to give you some feedback. Thank you so much for those who have made it possible, for those who have been praying, and for everyone who have been sending us. We went to Ukraine to ask the question how we can continue in the legacy of Johnny and Delesti that has been working in that church ever since it gained its freedom. Almost 30 years ago, they have gone in when the Iron Curtain came down, and they invested themselves in the first generation of pastors in a free country where they could build church without persecution. And we went to meet many of those pastors and visit many churches to ask the question how we can make a difference. Is there something that we can impart in them that will help them to continue to grow? And so we went with that on our hearts. And I'm just going to ask the team maybe just to briefly share just some feedback, some experiences from that journey. Who's starting?
Thank you. Moet ek op iets verhoog staan, of kan ek net hier staan? Oh, okay, cool. Okay, I'm going to start with a few stats. Small things. So we traveled approximately 2,500 kilometers inside the Ukraine. This is a klein land, yeah, so this buyer, going this way and that way. And also we visited about six cities. That doesn't include the villages we went to and so forth. And for the pastors, we connected with about 12 pastors. That's not the pastors' wives and so, but just with pastors we connected, about 12. That's about two in every city. And also, we had about 10 ministry opportunities where we could just share what God's doing in our lives. And Andries het meestal gepreek, maar we also did some sharing. And for me, the thing that was just so amazing is just their heart, the heart of the people in the Ukraine. You guys, we think we're a hospitable country. The people, they give up their rooms, their beds for us. They sleep on the floor or with the children in their beds, and their houses or their apartments are small. And they would put everything that they, das ons in Ternopil. Niet Chernobyl, nie, please. Ternopil. It's just amazing how they would literally like make a feast every time we had a meal with them. That's why I'm wearing a black shirt today. So jy nie kan sien wat aangaan hier onder aan. We maybe didn't suffer persecution, maar ons het, we suffered in a white circumference. But it was really just so amazing how they open their hearts to receive you. It's not begrudgingly. They spend time with you. They're open to receive from us. And they really blessed us so, so much. That was amazing for me.
I just want to quickly share on the weight issue. I on the last day, I put on my white shirt and felt loose. And I was like, I feel good for myself, you know. And toen ek eigenlijk my man's hemp aan gehad, dus ek so, sure. And then help. Ek het nog nooit die Here se stem so duidelijk in Ukraine gehoor nie. I'm probably speaking English. So we had this, at Ternopil, we had a youth meeting. And the youth is up until 35. So I think that's why they stay so young. And we broke up into groups, and Lisa took the older girls, and Andries the older men, and between the three of us, we had the children from 13 to 16, and we were sitting inside the tent, and it was a hot day. It was warm though. And where Bian was sharing something, and then Christopher was sharing something, and now I can see I'm losing the crowd. Now I have to share something. And ek weet dit jyre sê Kids Church. Wat doen julle by Kids Church? So I just quickly did like a little activity just to catch their attention again. And so yeah, sign up for Kids Church, people. It's for free. Amen. Eh? And then, yeah, ek wil net daai wat Tans was saying about the body of Christ. You know, I just realized again, the church in Ukraine, they are also part of it. And there's so much we can learn from them. And there's, you know, a lot that they can learn from us. The church service we went to on Sunday was 4 hours, guys. I think they can learn from us maybe a structure, but the way that they just allow God to move in their services, I mean, they were sharing testimonies for half an hour. They do 3 songs before announcements. I mean, after the 3 of jumping up and down, I was just, oh, I can't stop. So, no, they really have amazing the way that they do church and the church family. Yeah, it's amazing to see. And personally, I feel like I was asking God, you know, what now? What do we do with what happened? And he just said, you know, just be faithful with what you've received. So, you know, you just realize how important relationship is. Relationship with God and relationship with one another. So, you know, just, you know, it's amazing to be faithful in that relationship, to build something. So, you know.
Yeah, sure. I don't know how many days we were there for, but it was really awesome. 12, okay, yeah. I think I'm still trying to process what happened to me in the 12 days. Yeah, just the people were so amazing. Like, I don't really have words for it, but you can't really describe it, I think. You got to experience it. And I was just thinking at the back then, something that came to mind, like, what do I say? And I think what just dropped in my mind was, I think I experienced God's love in a different way, completely different way, through the people. Like there were moments there, like specific interactions with different people. Yeah, that was just life-changing for me. So I think I've come back completely changed in a way, which is really, really just amazing. And yeah. We'll see what the future holds. But
yeah, there's the church. One of the churches just saying goodbye. People were very hospitable, very open, and we asked all the pastors very much the same question: what can we add? What can we from South Africa add to you? Because the church in Ukraine is no longer an unreached harvest field. There's, however, only 2% evangelical churches, mostly atheism and Orthodox Christianity. But the church is still in the first generation of being free. And one of the things that we've noted is that first generation of pastors are still there. But we do not see the next generation coming through. There is a reluctancy of the new generation to become pastors because they saw how much their own pastors had suffered. And there's also a very communist mindset still prevalent in the way people see church, the leadership of church. Under communism, you were taught to conform and to think the same and be the same. And if you dared to be different, you would be sent to Siberia. That mindset still remains in the way they do church. And they were fascinated by the way we approach church, our communities, and especially from Shofar's perspective, how we have worked with students, and that most of our pastors are actually graduates in secular universities. They are doctors, accountants, and physios, and engineers that became pastors. They do not have this concept of how to infiltrate communities, different demographics, with a specific aim to evangelize. So it was quite interesting to see how they were hanging on our lips concerning discipleship, how we do discipleship, how we structure church, and how we mobilize people, and especially the youth and the younger students. So that was very interesting. And so we went with this question, how can we make a difference? And trusting the Lord to see, is there churches that see in us something that we can add and contribute? Because sending short-term mission teams are very easy. And many times those who go on these short-term mission trips are more blessed than those who receive us. We grow as we are exposed to the world and the need out there, and we have an opportunity to share our own testimony. But my question was really, how does short-term missions make an effect, make a difference? Is there a need in Ukraine for us, who we are as Shofar, but also as a local congregation, with who we are here? And it's with that question that we went, and there were two churches really that we felt responded, and we could see were hungry and wanted to continue in a relationship to learn and to receive from us. And it's churches that we can learn from ourselves. And so on a different occasion, I will give some feedback concerning those two congregations and their hearts and their desire and what we have to add and they to us. It's also with this, interestingly enough, as I was preparing, and I felt the Lord lead to share this morning concerning a concept we hear a lot about and probably know well in church, is this concept of fellowship. And as I just studied this word and God's heart behind it, I realized that is one of the reasons we went. But I'm trusting that it will become more clear as we continue this morning. But let us just pray before we share further. Father, we want to thank you for this awesome time we have together, Lord. Thank you for this privilege we have to be together without fear and persecution. Lord, that we can boldly proclaim your word, worship you openly, and not be afraid. Lord, thank you for this season that you've granted us in this country, that we may be bold as your people and not hindered. Lord, I pray that we will not take it for granted, but we will use it while we still can. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us today through your word. Lord, that you will come and impart your heart into us, that we may be transformed, that we may be conformed into the image of your Son. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We will be sharing on a later time more detail concerning Ukraine for those who are interested, and especially in the way forward. But this morning I want to continue with this journey that we have been on for a while now, as we've been journeying together around this concept of church and asking God the simple question, God, what is your vision for church? What is your heart for church? What is your expectation? What is your desire, as opposed to our own vision, our own expectation and desire? We are part of church, and the question we need to ask ourselves, why are we part of church? Why are we part of church? Are we part of church for what we want, what we desire, or are we part of church for what he wants and what he desires? And that's really the question. God, what is your vision? What is your desire? What is your purpose for church? And as we ask this question and allow God to speak to us, are we willing to conform to God's purpose, God's desire for church? Are we willing to go there? And in asking these questions, it will not only lead us to better understand God's heart for us together, but also expose our own hearts and our own motives. Not only expose our motive, but also our commitment to God. And this question about whether God is really our King and Lord that we serve. Or are we expecting God to serve us? Are we only here for our own benefit? Or have we truly surrendered our lives to Him as our King, and we want to serve Him and His desire and His will? And so the question really boils down always to this: who is really king here? Is it ourselves, the church, the pastor, or is it really God? And here I want to commend the church, as I've been part of this church for some years now, and I could see how so many of us have been growing in our relationship with God, surrendering more and more of our lives to Him as King, and allowing Him through His Spirit to come and transform us, to come and renew our minds, and to create in us a desire for more of Him, to know Him more and to follow Him more. And that's what excites me so much about coming back home, is just to see how God has been working in us in this passion and commitment to follow Him as King and Lord of our lives, and to serve Him with the little that we have, as small as it might seem and insignificant. When we bring our two fish and five loaves to the Lord, it's He that then He multiplies and uses it for His purpose. And I really want to encourage the church for that, not just in following Him more and more passionately, but the testimony of so many others that are becoming committed to the Lord because of your lives. I love going to baptism and just hearing the testimony of those who've made the decision to surrender all to God. And to hear so often their testimony that it is the lives of their friends in small group and others that are in the church that has really inspired them to become committed to God. And I want to thank you for that. It's really an encouragement to see. And as we ask this question, God, what is your heart for church? God, what is your heart for us as your church? It led me to this portion of scripture in Acts chapter 2. Very well known portion of scripture. I have it there from verse 41, but I'll read here from verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received the word were baptized. And on that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. There are the four things that define the early church. Here we read of just the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter standing up and preaching to the crowd and how they responded to the message of the gospel. And there are four things, actually, if you look carefully, there are six things. First is they received the word. The second is they made a radical response to the word. They got baptized. And then they continued. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And as we look into the word and asking God, God, what is your heart? What is your desire? What is your expectation for us as your church? How should it look? How should we operate? How should we be? This is very powerful. Those four things. And one of those things I want to share around this morning, this concept of fellowship. They not just continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which was really the gospel, the four books. That's what they started off with. Of course, the apostles' doctrine grew to the New Testament. But in the beginning, it was really the teaching of Jesus and His word. And then this powerful concept that they not just continued in the Lord's teaching, they also continued in fellowship. What does this fellowship mean? What is this fellowship, and how do we practically apply this? If this is God's heart for us, it's good to ask Him these questions. God, what is your heart for us as church, and what does it mean, and how should we do this? Now, in the Greek, you might have heard many sermons around this. In the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. It means partnership, participation, and contribution. They continued steadfastly in a partnership, a participation, and a contribution with one another. And that is exactly what we were looking for in the Ukraine. I realized as I was preparing, that's exactly what we were looking for. Is there a church that we could partner with, participate with, and contribute to see God's will and kingdom established? And as I was thinking about this, and it just resonated with my heart, I realized, but that is exactly what God is looking for us when we come together on a weekly and daily basis. He wants us to fellowship. And we've made fellowship such an easy word. You know, we fellowship after the church when we drink coffee together. But when you look at the word of God and you understand what this word means, it is far more than just drinking coffee together. It is a partnership, a participation, and a contribution towards each other. I realize that is exactly what God is seeking for us in church. And I realized how we've been growing in this as a church. How we've growing in our love for one another. Our interest and our generosity towards one another. But this is where God is taking us, discipling us to become the church. He wants us to be the church that ultimately He's coming back for. That brings us to this concept of Ephesians 5, where we read from verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loves the church and gave Himself for her, that He may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish." God's heart towards the church is to love, to cherish, to wash, to cleanse, to prepare, to make the church a glorious church for which He is coming back. And so God has a clear aim of what church ought to be like, what we need to become as we come together and live together. And it's with this clear goal before us that He encourages us to be willing to become that what He desires us to be. And so really it starts with this question: God, who do You want us to be? What is the church that You desire us to be? Not the denomination or the pastor or the movement, but God, what is Your heart? And then once we discover that, the question is, are we willing to become that? And then how, Lord, how? Help us to be the church You want us to be. The aim God is working towards in us is to become a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, holy and without blemish. And this is done by the washing of the water, by the Word and His Spirit within us. Through the Word of God, He directs us and sets to us a course to endure and to pursue, and the Holy Spirit empowers us if we are willing to take this course. And one aspect of this glorious church, one aspect of this desire of God for us, is this concept of fellowship. What does this fellowship mean? This koinonia. It's a partnership, it's a participation, and it's a contribution. The word in the New Testament times had several uses, several ways it could be used. The first was used of a business partnership where two or more persons shared the same business and therefore were closely connected to work. One of God's desires for us as church that we would be closely connected in a partnership in the same work. The other use was for marriage, the shared life of two people, a man and a wife together, was used to describe this shared life, not just a partnership, but a shared life. It was also sometimes used of a perceived relatedness to a god like Zeus. The Greeks had many different gods, and they used this word to describe those who were related to another god. And so God's idea of fellowship is not just a partnership and a shared life, but a relatedness to Him, of course. And then, of course, this word was used to refer to the spirit of generous sharing as opposed to the spirit of selfish acquiring. God wants us to be in a partnership, in participation, and in contribution into one another's lives. But what makes this word really powerful in the New Testament, what really takes it to the next level, is when Paul and others write this and use this word in connection with our relationship with God. That we can be in fellowship, koinonia, with Him. That we can be in partnership, participation with the Almighty Living God. That we can share, have a shared life. That we can be related to. and that we can participate in. That makes this word so powerful in the New Testament, when it describes not only our relationship with each other, but our relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, we read, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship, into koinonia, of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. How powerful is that? We have been called into koinonia with Christ, into a partnership, a participation, a shared life, a relatedness with God Himself. In 1 John 1, we read, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship, koinonia, with us. And truly, our fellowship, koinonia, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we have written to you, that your joy may be full. We are called into fellowship, not just with one another, into a partnership, a participation, a belonging, a shared life, not just with one another. We have been called into a partnership, a belonging, a shared life with God Himself. This indeed is good news. This indeed will bring you great joy, because God is life. He is eternal life. He is the source of life. He is the beginning and the end. And we have been called into a partnership, shared life, a belongingness with God. The result of this is fullness of joy. This fellowship is powerful. 1 John, it continues, this is the message from verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. How powerful is that? This word fellowship, that we cannot just have fellowship with one another, we can have fellowship with God. And in this fellowship, partnership, shared life, relatedness with God, is in this relationship that the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sins. Sometimes we think we need to be perfect before God will accept us, but God is saying, come into a relationship, a partnership, a shared life with me, and I will cleanse you of all your sin. So it becomes so powerful, this relationship with God. As we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship, and in this fellowship, the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. But also in this fellowship, in this connectedness, into this participation of His life, in this partnership with His life, we are changed to become more like Him through His Spirit within us. As we fellowship, partner, participate with Him, He changes us to become more like Him, more like His Son. And we start to walk in the light as He is in the light. It's such a powerful concept. I was sharing in Ukraine, just God's heart and just His definition of love. And as I was preparing that, I was just, the Lord just showed me again, and I just discovered afresh again God's definition of love. It's not just that He loved us and that He gave His Son to us to save us and to redeem us so that we can have the opportunity to have fellowship with Him. What is so powerful is that God loved us while we were still sinners. While we were still enemies, God took the initiative. The powerful thing about God's love, and the love that He wants to grow in us and us to live in and reproduce through us, is a love that takes the initiative. God did not wait for us to be perfect, to be friends and sinless, but He loved us while we were still enemies, while we were still sinners. And God took the initiative That's the godly love. That is who God is. He takes the initiative. And we have been called, we have been given the privilege to respond to His initiative for partnership, for fellowship, for participation, for fellowship, for a shared life. God takes the first step, the initiative, and says, I want to give you fellowship, partnership, participation, shared life. And we have the choice whether we're going to respond to this amazing mystery to be in fellowship with God. So the Word of God not only reveals this joyous mystery of fellowship with God, it also warns us not to have fellowship with certain other things. In the same way as it's so amazing that we have this opportunity to have fellowship with God that will transform us, our lives, and our very beings, and we have the opportunity to have fellowship with one another, the desire of God as we have fellowship with Him, to have fellowship with one another. The Word of God also says there are certain things that I do not want you to have fellowship with. I do not want you to have a participation, a partnership, a shared life with. And so we read in 1 Corinthians, as He warns us of those things. In 1 Corinthians 10, from verse 19, He says, what am I saying then? Is an idol anything? Or what is offered to idols, is it anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Do not drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. So the Word of God warns us that we cannot have fellowship with both. We are called not to have fellowship with idols and demons, that what is offered to demons. We should not have partnership, participation, a shared life with these things. So get rid of your Buddha statues and your horror movies that you watch, and the horror Harry Potter books that you read. Have no fellowship with it. Have no partnership, participation in it. Is the book anything? No, but it is offered to demons. And God says, don't have any part in it. Don't have any participation, fellowship with it. And also in 2 Corinthians 6 from verse 7 to 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with lawlessness? Or what communion, the same word koinonia, has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. We are called not to have koinonia with unbelievers, not to have a partnership, a participation, a shared life with unbelievers, not to be unequally yoked. Therefore, the Word of God teaches us, and it doesn't mean we cannot have a relationship with unbelievers. That's not what fellowship means. We have, in the church, unfortunately, reduced fellowship to a friendship relationship at church where we greet one another and share a coffee together. Now that, God says, we can have with the world, but not koinonia. Not this fellowship, partnership, participation, a shared life that is a life-defining, life-direction-giving relationship. It says, don't have fellowship with unbelievers. Therefore, it says, the church tradition, and to this day, we teach, do not marry unbelievers. Because this is not a normal friendship. This is a life-directing, life-changing fellowship that you enter into. The word was used in relation to marriage. A
shared life between a man and a wife. So God encourages us not to participate with those who do not follow God. Because if you yoke together, if you participate and share a life together with someone that does not follow God, they will lead you astray. And so when it comes to these life-defining relationships, not the drinking of coffee and shaking each other's hands, but life-defining relationships, God says, do not be unequally yoked. But in the same sense, it challenges us as to what is our fellowship then with one another. When God says we must have fellowship with Him and fellowship with each other, is it simply shaking the hands and drinking coffee together? Or is it something deeper? God's desire for us. So how do we practically fellowship with one another? It is a choice. It starts with a choice. It starts with an initiative. Maybe in our lives, not really the first step. The first step God already took 2,000 years ago when He gave His life for us. And then He encourages us, because you have received my love, because you know my love, I want you to do the same. I want you to take the first step. I want you to choose to partner, to participate, to share life with one another. This is my heart, my desire for church when you come together. That you will have fellowship with one another. That you will care for one another. That you will serve one another. That you will know and love each other. That's God's heart for church. Oh, and we realize that we cannot do this in our own ability, in our own strength. We need God's love in us. We need His Spirit within us. We need His presence to transform us, to teach us, and to enable us to love in such a way. But that is the clear goal. God's heart for church. So each other to care, to share, to serve, and to love. To have fellowship with God, the shared life, belonging, but also partnering and participating with Him. The way we do it practically is participating and partnering with Him in His will, in His kingdom. That's how we have fellowship with Him, His desire, His life. It's very interesting. The Word of God describes believers in the New Testament 3 times as Christians, but more than 200 times as disciples. As believers, we are called disciples more than 200 times. And a disciple literally is a learner. What it means to follow God is those who are learning from God. Not learning from the world, but from God. The followers of Jesus are disciples of God, learners of God, that choose to be taught, influenced, directed, shaped, transformed by His heart, His passion, His ways. And so we are called disciples, learners. It's the same root word as discipline. Same root word. It's a disciplined life. And what is discipline but a choice to follow a clear goal? Now, I'm sure most of us coming back from Ukraine have now a clear goal. We have added a lot. We have brought a lot of Ukraine with us, unintentionally. I have gained 4 kilograms. You have seen the feasts they put before you, and you cannot say no, even if you try. And so to lose these 4 kilograms, I have to become disciplined. I must have a clear goal and decide that I am going to exercise until I lose my 4 kilograms. That goes with any aspect of discipline. There is a clear goal that we do not have yet.
And then we make a decision that we're going to endeavor, and train until we reach that goal. And so whether it is to make up your bed every morning, which is discipline, which is a clear goal, which you choose to do consistently, or whether it is to become fit or lose weight, which is a clear goal that requires choices. Little choices every day. It doesn't help. I have a goal in the beginning of the year to become fit and lose weight in my New Year's resolution. And make a big choice once a year that this is going to be my endeavor. And I do not make that choice every day. You see, I have discovered even in the military that discipline is a daily routine, that you make a choice to do something that is not always nice. But you make the choice, and if you continue in it, it produces fruit that in the end produces the goal. And so in our walk with God, it is not just a decision we made once. It is a decision we make daily as we exercise our bodies to gain the goal of losing weight. I have to now exercise. But I realize I have to make that choice every day. I did it the first 2 days when I came back. I didn't do the last 3 days. So unless I make this decision every day, I will never reach my goal. And I've realized so too, as a disciple of Christ, I have to decide every day that I'm going to follow Jesus. That I'm going to allow His Word and His Spirit to transform me. And as we do it every day, we surrender our lives to Him. And because why? Because we really don't even know whether we'll have it tomorrow. Why not live this day as if it's your last day for God? Committed to Him because of His love and His greatness. So let us choose to become disciples with the clear goal. And I want to ask the ushers if they could hand out for us the elements of communion as we commit ourselves again to this goal. This wonderful privilege we have to have fellowship with God. God takes the initiative and says, I've made a way for you to be related, to partner, to participate, to share my life. Will we not just make this choice once a week, but may we make it every day. As we wake up and start our day, say, God, thank you that we do not need a priest to stand on our behalf, but we can come to you freely. You have removed the veil, and we can enter into your presence every day so that we can have fellowship with you. Will we value that every day? Will we make use of that every day? Will we also choose to have fellowship with one another? As often as we can, if we see one another, to choose to love one another. It's not a difficult thing. It's a choice we make in a half a second to love someone. And with love comes concern and care that we will love one another. Not because it's a nice thing to do or a great sermon, but because it's the desire and the will of God for us as church. That's how we become different to the world. That's the church that God wants to come back for. So I want to ask us this morning that we will consider to commit ourselves to a clear goal. A goal to have fellowship with God. And to ask God to lead us, to guide us, and to teach us what this means to have fellowship with Him. When we open the Word and when we pray, to ask Him through His Spirit to come and transform us, to become more like Him. That's His desire for us, that we will all become like Christ in this world, that the disciples of Jesus will be called Christians, Christ-like ones. That's God's desire for us. But before you can be a Christian, you must be a disciple. Before you can be a little Christ, You must first be a disciple of Christ. You must first learn from Him. Then Him teach you what it means to be Christ in this world. Let us commit ourselves as a church. Let us consider to do this morning. Commit ourselves to God and commit ourselves to one another. Commit ourselves to God's desire and dream for church. That's really the outer call for this morning. And I want to give you an opportunity as we wait for one another, just to prayerfully, as you are seated here, just to consider God's word, His desire for us. Will you consider to make it your goal every day to have fellowship with Him, to have fellowship with one another? Let's just do that for a few moments. Lord, we want to thank You. We want to thank You for Your word that sets a goal clearly before us. God, we want to thank You for this word this morning that encourages us that we must be led by Your Spirit, that we must yield to Your Spirit and follow You. Lord, I pray, Lord, as You set before us a clear goal, Lord, I pray that we will surrender to this goal, that we will choose, Lord, to pursue this goal, God, but in our own strength, we will not succeed. We are weak, but we want to thank You, God, that You've given us Your Spirit and that we can follow Him as our mentor and teacher, our helper, the one that comes alongside us, that gives life to our mortal body. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is now in us. And Lord, I pray that we will surrender to You and Your goal for us as individuals, but also for us as a church, that we will fellowship with You and fellowship with each other. Teach us, Lord. Holy Spirit, come lead us. Show us the way. Show us how, Lord, every day. Thank You that You are here with us. We are not alone. You are with us every day. Lord, I pray that we will choose to be Your disciples every morning as we wake up. Lord, we thank You that You have taken the initiative to make it possible for us, because that what separated us from You, that would hinder our fellowship, You have placed on Your Son. And Lord, You have become the sin that separated us from fellowship with God, so that we may be united, reunited with You. God, we thank You for Your sacrifice of Your body on the cross. We will not forget the price as we eat together, in Jesus' name. God, we want to thank You that price had a goal in mind. It was for a purpose. It is so that we can be free. Your blood cleanses us of our sin that hinders us from a relationship, from fellowship with You. God, I pray, Lord, as we drink this cup, Lord, we drink this life that You freely give to whosoever believes. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we drink this cup, Lord, we will commit ourselves to live the life that You have purposed for us to live.
Oh Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we drink this cup, Lord, that you will make us new, transform us, Lord, change us as we decide to believe and follow you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. I want us just to stand together. I want to conclude with this one verse. In Philippians 1, Paul writes, "Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Lord, I thank you that you are committed to us. Your goal is clear in us. Lord, I pray that we will fellowship with you in this goal. Lord, I pray for every soul here that is responding to your word. Lord, I pray especially for those, if you are here today and you have never surrendered your life completely to God, to have fellowship with him, with everything. If that is you this morning and you want to surrender your life, or maybe you have realized that you have strayed away from him and you want to return to him in a fellowship, in a decision to follow him every day, I just want you to raise your hand as all the eyes are closed, just between you and God. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you for those hands coming up. This is an opportunity for you to respond to God's word, to say, "God, today I want to surrender my life to you. Thank you." Is there anyone else? Just make that decision today to say, "God, here I am. I want to give you my life, Lord. I want to surrender all, Lord. I want to embrace your goal, your life. Thank you for taking the first step to save my life. Now I give you my life and I want to follow you." Is there anyone else who wants to make that decision today? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. Lord, I thank you for those who are responding right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, that in their heart, Lord, as they bow before you, Lord, and they surrender their life, Lord, they admit to you that they are sinners and they are in need of salvation. They are in need of your life and they recognize that only you can give it. Lord, I pray that today as they make the decision to embrace you as Savior, King of their life, Lord, I pray that you will bless them with your Spirit, Lord, even right now, Lord, as they make that decision. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will fill their hearts, Lord, that you will renew their souls, Lord, and their spirit in their mind, Lord, that they will be passionate for you and follow you all the days of their life because they are welcome, they are loved, and they are one with you. God, I thank you for those who are returning to you, Lord, that you do not reject them, but you rejoice over them and you take their sin away from them. You take their sin away from them. You wash them clean. You dress them again. And the ring is back on their finger. And you celebrate their life. Lord, I pray that they will run for you every single day. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, we will have fellowship with you and each other. Make it our goal as you lead us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. If you responded to the now to call, I would love to pray with you. But I want to ask for the rest of us, please have an awesome time. Remember to connect with those you don't know for the first 2 minutes. And then fellowship with those you do. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.